Hold your head as high as you can, high enough to see who you are, little man. Life sometimes is cold and cruel, maybe no one else will tell you, so remember that you are black gold, black gold.
The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Kathy Bostrom from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Oprah. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Oprah Daily. What to know before using AI chatbots for medical advice. Generative AI tools can give you fast, personalized results, but they come with safety and privacy risks. Experts share how to navigate this new frontier, by Aaron Bunch. Every day, more than 40 million people worldwide turn to ChatGPT with their health questions. Demand has gotten so great that the bot's parent company, OpenAI, announced in January the launch of ChatGPT Health, a dedicated space for health-related conversations that is currently available to a limited number of users. Rival company Anthropic signaled similar ambitions in January when it launched tools for healthcare providers under its Claude for Healthcare banner and outlined plans for consumer-facing health features. The appeal of these AI-powered chats is obvious for Americans. The healthcare system is incredibly hard to navigate. Appointments take weeks, visits feel rushed, and you often leave with more questions than answers, says Taryn Southern, an AI educator for Mohammed bin Zayed University of Artificial Intelligence, an executive at BlackRock Neurotech. When I was going through stage 3 breast cancer treatment, I would have given anything for a tool that could explain my pathology reports at 2 a.m. when the anxiety hit. But generative AI chatbots, tools like ChatGPT and Claude that are trained on vast amounts of data to generate human-like responses to our queries, have limitations, which can have serious consequences in a medical context. For one thing, chatbots are prone to hallucinations, where they confidently state false information. That confident tone is especially dangerous in health contexts, because people naturally trust authority, says Southern. Chatbots are also limited by the data they're trained on, meaning their answers may be informed by incomplete, outdated, or biased information. They also lack the full context a clinician would have about an individual patient, like your personal and family medical history, and can't diagnose with the same experience-based nuance as a human because, you know, they didn't go to med school, complete residency training, or ever work with patients IRL. Another issue: the conversational ease of chatbots can lull people into sharing sensitive health information that may not be as private as they assume. What concerns me most is that people will turn off their own critical thinking because AI seems very smart, says Ethan Mollick, PhD, an associate professor of management and co-director of the Generative AI Labs at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, and the author of Co-Intelligence, Living and Working with AI. But it isn't magical. Still, experts agree that because AI chatbots can draw on vast amounts of information, break down dense medical concepts, and answer questions in real time, they can be a useful resource when used with care. Emphasis on the care part. Keep these best practices in mind when turning to AI for health guidance. What you should ask Dr. Chatbot. There are certain areas where AI can be incredibly helpful with medical questions. Here's where it shines. Number one, prepping for your appointment. The average doctor's appointment lasts about 15 minutes. Generative AI tools can help you make the most of that window. It's not about replacing the doctor, says Mollick. It's about making the time you eventually spend with that doctor far more useful. Before your appointment, Nigam Shah, MBBS, PhD, a professor of medicine at Stanford University and the chief data scientist for Stanford Healthcare, recommends asking a chatbot to summarize your symptoms and generate questions to ask your practitioner. These tools are excellent at helping you organize your thoughts, he says. Instead of going to your doctor and saying, "I feel weird," the AI can help you refine that into, "I have a sharp pain in my left side that gets worse after I eat." If your doctor's medical lingo is more confusing than the ending of Lost, A chatbot can also help fill in the gaps after your appointment, says Southern. That could mean clarifying a diagnosis, defining a medical term, summarizing relevant research on your condition, or weighing the trade-offs between different recommended treatment paths. Number two, understanding lab results, studies, and other medical documents. Confused by all of the different scores on your latest blood test? Dr. Chatbot can help with that. Just type in your results or even upload a screenshot. ChatGPT is a world-class translator, says Dr. Shaw. It can take a complex pathology report and explain it to you at a fifth-grade reading level. It may even have the potential to surface patterns that would otherwise go unnoticed, even by your fitness tracker. Feed a chatbot your lab results over time, and it may identify trends across otherwise normal values that might not stand out in a routine appointment, says Eric Topol, MD, founder and director of the Scripps Research Translational Institute, and a leading expert on the use of AI in medicine. This has some privacy drawbacks, though. More on that in a minute. It can also help you understand other medical documents, such as consent forms, discharge instructions, and insurance paperwork. Mollick points to a 2025 randomized controlled study that showed using ChatGPT to clarify surgical consent forms improved patients' understanding of what to expect before surgery and reduced anxiety. Number three, answering everyday non-emergency health questions. We're talking the stuff you would have normally Googled, like whether a lingering cough might warrant a doctor's visit, or what could be causing wrist pain. Unlike a search engine, which spits out generic results, AI chatbots tend to offer more accurate answers, tailored to your specific details and situation. If it was Dr. Web MD versus Dr. ChatGPT, I'd definitely use ChatGPT, Mollick says. While it's also fair game to ask questions about your prescribed meds or supplements, Dr. Shaw warns against adjusting dosages or starting supplements based solely on a chatbot's recommendation. Why? A chatbot may not have access to or account for your full medical history, allergies, or drug interactions that a pharmacist or doctor would catch. And please, please skip the chat and go straight to the ER for anything remotely life-threatening. Think chest pain, trouble breathing, sudden neurological changes, broken bones, etc. Right now, human judgment is much better and more trustworthy, says Dr. Topol. He points to a recently published study that found that ChatGPT Health gave the wrong recommendation about the need for emergency care more than half the time. The same caution applies to mental health. Chatbots are not a safe substitute for care in cases involving suicidality, eating disorders, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, or other complex conditions that require nuance, continuity of care, and human oversight. Before you get started, set yourself up for success with the right tools and boundaries. Mollick recommends using the most advanced models you can access, such as ChatGPT 5.4 Thinking, Claude 4.6 Opus, or Gemini 3.1 Pro. Those give you better answers and have fewer errors. They're more likely to be correct, he says. You'll likely have to pay for a premium version rather than relying on a free tier to access these sophisticated models. Take steps to protect your privacy, too, since most consumer-facing chatbots aren't subject to the HIPAA protections that you enjoy in the doctor's office. While some states have more robust privacy laws, says Victoria Noble, staff attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, there isn't a comprehensive federal data privacy law in place, meaning that companies can use the information you input to train their models or for targeted advertising. In certain circumstances, she warns, it can even be shared with law enforcement or other third parties. Protections vary by platform, but Noble suggests trying temporary chats on ChatGPT and Gemini or incognito chats on Claude, which ensure that your conversations won't get saved to your account and will be deleted from the cloud after a set period of time, which differs between programs. You can also go back and manually delete past conversations. Also, look for the settings option to disable stored memory, a feature that builds a running profile of you over time. Many platforms also allow you to opt out of having your conversations used to train future AI models, meaning your health questions won't become part of the data that shapes the next version of the tool. These steps won't eliminate the risks entirely, but they can serve as a first line of defense for your most sensitive health information. How to handle your next chat. Ready to get started? Experts suggest a few simple habits to get you more useful, reliable responses from your chosen chatbot. Do give as much relevant information as possible. These tools perform best when given context and specificity. Rather than typing something vague like, "Why does my wrist hurt?" Dr. Shah recommends providing what he calls a patient summary. Your age and relevant health history, the main symptom, when it started, and what makes it better or worse. For example, I'm a 45-year-old woman with no major health issues. I've had wrist pain for 3 days that gets worse when I type and is worse in the evening. It's worth noting, however, that there is an inherent trade-off between protecting your privacy and optimizing the bot's accuracy. The more data you feed the AI tool over time, the better it will be at answering your health questions. Ultimately, it's up to you to determine your risk tolerance, how much information you're comfortable sharing in exchange for more personalized, potentially more useful answers. Do check its work. Always include information in your prompt that spells out the human sources you trust, says Dr. Shah. For example, you could say, based on reliable sources like the Mayo Clinic or the National Institutes of Health, what are the standard treatment paths for whatever condition? This guides the bot to prioritize credible, evidence-based sources when crafting its response. Don't take its answers at face value either, particularly ones regarding medication dosages or treatment recommendations. Always ask, what was the source of this information? Ideally, the model will provide links to websites and tell you what piece of information came from which outlet. If the model can't point to a legitimate source for its claims, such as a peer-reviewed study or a link to a page from a government health agency, hospital, or academic medical center, take it with a big grain of salt. Noble adds that for any information you might act on, it's worth verifying the sources yourself to make sure they're legitimate and that they actually support what the chatbot is telling you. Finally, Dr. Shah recommends asking your question in a few different ways. Small changes in phrasing can lead to very different responses, and across multiple platforms like ChatGPT, Claude, and Gemini. If the answers line up, that's a good sign. If they don't, you probably want to continue your research or reach out to a medical professional. Don't mistake a chatbot's output for a diagnosis. When you're spiraling about your kid's angry rash, it's easy to conflate a chatbot answer with a medical diagnosis, but they are not one and the same. Gen AI is not your doctor, says Southern. It doesn't know your full medical history, your labs, your genetics. I've seen people spiral because a chatbot told them their symptoms could be something serious. That word could does a lot of damage at 3 a.m. Dr. Shah agrees, noting that a real diagnosis requires physical exams, history taking, and professional judgment that no chatbot can yet replicate. He recommends telling the chatbot how to behave from the outset. You could say something like, act as a medical information assistant and frame your response as possibilities to discuss with my doctor, not a final diagnosis. Don't share more personal data than necessary. The more specific information you give a chatbot, the more tailored and potentially accurate its answer may be, but your privacy risk increases as well. Noble advises redacting details that aren't directly relevant to your question before sharing, including your social security number, your date of birth, just give your age instead, and any medical history that doesn't bear on what you're talking about or you're asking about. Where possible, she recommends, type out the relevant info, like your A1C score, age, and BMI, into a chat rather than submitting the entire MyChart page, since it's easy to miss stuff that might need redacting. And remember, even with those precautions, there are no guarantees your data will stay private. For this reason, experts recommend restraint. As Southern puts it, don't share anything with a chatbot you wouldn't want on a billboard. The bottom line, when used with appropriate guardrails, generative AI can help you understand symptoms, prepare for appointments, and make sense of complex medical information. But it's not a replacement for professional medical care. Treating it like an actual doctor, rather than a well-informed, if occasionally misguided, assistant, can be dangerous and even life-threatening. The gap between where these tools are and where people think they are is where harm happens, says Southern. Stay curious, stay informed, and keep your doctor in the loop. And that was What to Know Before Using AI Chatbots for Medical Advice by Aaron Bunch. Oprah announces Go Gentle by Maria Semple as a 121st book club pick. Be prepared to stay up late into the night because you won't want to put it down, says Oprah of the latest novel from the author of Where'd You Go, Bernadette? This is by Charlie Burlock. The weather is finally warming, which means many of us bookworms are looking for a book to bask in the sun with. Something at once joyful and insightful, funny and heartbreaking, romantic and propulsive, and with a cast of characters that feel like new friends. Lucky for us, Oprah's latest book club pick is all of that and more. Go Gentle by Maria Semple tells the story of Adora Hazard, a stoic philosopher divorcee who understands, thanks to her academic training, that the secret to happiness is never wanting more than you have. Lucky for her, what she has is pretty easy to be contented with. A daughter she adores, a cushy gig providing moral training to twin Upper East Side teenagers, and most enviable of all, a coven of close friends with whom she splits expenses, subscriptions, and plans to grow old with. But then she meets a handsome stranger who suddenly and inconveniently makes her want more, forcing Adora to rethink her perfectly calibrated future and confront her carefully cordoned off past. For all those who crave a good page-turner, this is one wild ride of a story that carries equal parts wit and wisdom, said Oprah. I learned so much about stoicism. I laughed out loud for real. And underneath the humor, there was always something tender, she continued. A quiet truth about relationships, identity, and what it means to find peace with yourself. Semple is the author of three previous novels. This One Is Mine, Today Will Be Different, and Where'd You Go, Bernadette, which was adapted into a 2019 feature film starring Cate Blanchett, Billy Crudup, Kristen Wiig, Judy Greer, and Lawrence Fishburne. Oprah has done more for books than anyone alive, said Semple. To readers, she's an enthusiastic friend whose taste you trust implicitly and who you can't wait to get into it with. To authors, to get the call means one thing. Oprah has phoned out of the blue and made you a book club pick. Semple admits that she should have been more prepared to get her own call, considering the countless hours I'd spent in fantasy land imagining it happening to me, before scolding myself that it was an honor bestowed on other, more serious writers. When the call did come, though, Semple was tidying her kitchen and caught totally off guard. Upon hearing Oprah's voice for the first time, she says she hit the ceiling in bewildered, grateful joy. I'm still there. Semple and Oprah met up in person in New York City to discuss Go Gentle for this week's episode of the Oprah Podcast. And that is Oprah Announces Go Gentle by Maria Semple as a 121st Book Club Pick by Charlie Burlock. And now we have read this sneak peek of Oprah's 122nd Book Club Pick. In Go Gentle by Maria Semple, three single middle-aged women form a coven to share the burdens and bliss of growing old together, by Maria Semple. It had started innocently enough. I'd moved to the Upper West Side after my divorce. Weeks in, I went to see chamber music with my friend Emily Ann, widowed lawyer, and on the way home, said I had to stop at the market. Emily Ann did too. "What are you getting?" she asked. Now see, looking back, I already want to spend the rest of my life with that person, someone genuinely interested in my shopping list. "I've been craving tuna," I said, "but the celery comes prepackaged in two heads, and I only ever want a couple of stalks." I hated waste. Emily Ann did too. "It's why I never make tuna," Emily Ann put in ruefully. "What are you getting?" "Bread for sandwiches." "Sliced bread." That, too, I hadn't bought, because I only ever needed a couple of pieces at a time. Viv was away, summering with her dad. Right then, in the fusty cavity between the inner and outer doors of Morton Williams on 57th, inspiration struck. I grabbed Emily Ann by both arms and dug my fingers in. "You buy celery," she cried, reading my mind. "And I buy bread, and we give each other half." A runaway train couldn't have stopped us. On the aggressively narrow dining counter, I broke off celery stalks and slipped them into her Dave's Killer Bread bag. Into my celery bag went 6 pieces of her 21-grain bread. It was divine, if spinsterish. Strike that. It was divine and spinsterish. When I attempt to define happiness and understand its place in the hierarchy of the human project, divorce philosopher, my mind leaps to those 5 minutes in the market with Emily Ann. Sorry, marriage to Hal. Sorry, birth of Viv. They were marked by spontaneity, creative problem solving, lawlessness, laughter, and kinship. I existed vividly and exclusively in the present moment. The universe was harmonious, and it had my back. I felt wide and well. The next day, Emily Ann and I texted each other pictures. Her tuna. Rough chunks of celery and onion drowning in mayonnaise. My tuna. Finely diced celery, onion, fresh dill, parsley, Kalamata olives, capers, and Mama Lil's pepper. Undetectable mayonnaise, generous lemon juice. Her arms, fingerprint bruised from being dug into. Mine, not. I recounted the story to our friend Minna, making her the divorced theater director. She wildly wanted in. Thus began Fridays at Fairway, a meetup of single women who purchase and divvy celery, carrots, basil, muffins, anything we want, but comes packaged too much for one. We've been known to bring Tupperware and Ziplocs. I call it a meetup because when other women see what we're doing, they instantly get it and want in. Sometimes it's a dozen of us. Other times it's just me and a bag of Mexican limes, 10 for a dollar. I'm still surprised the New York Times hasn't gotten in touch. Isn't that all the style section is? Breathless reporting on trends that barely exist? We kicked it up a notch when an apartment became available on my floor. I mentioned it to Minna, who turned on her longtime East Village neighborhood for getting overrun by bougie NYU students. So she escaped to the suburbs of Manhattan, aka the Upper West Side, followed by Emily Ann a year later. The idea being to pool our resources and, when the time comes, we'll take care of one another. Women, you can't accuse us of not being practical. Whenever I mention this arrangement to married couples, I'm met with one of two responses neatly divided along gender lines. Number one, "Wait, you can do that?" said with wheels turning and fond memories of Ding Dong Ditch. Number two, "Keep away from my wife." Here's how it works. There are Fridays at Fairway as discussed. In addition, Minna, Emily Ann, and I have a joint account into which we contribute $650 per month to cover all expenses. These include Ziggy to walk the dogs, Julio to clean, pro tip, hire a man because you return home not just to a clean house, but everything is fixed. Minna only needs her assistant Monday through Thursday, so we can request her on Fridays for errands gratis. We split subscriptions to the ballet, symphony, and theater. A pair of tickets among us, as not all can or want to go to everything. Bored yet? Too bad. We sign up on the family plan for streaming services, cell phones, and museum memberships. Emily Ann came with a car. We share the cost of a parking space in the Ansonia basement, an extravagant out of reach for mere mortals, split three ways, move over, gods. Because we can guarantee three appointments, the hairstylist does our roots at home, at salon prices. I thought it was a bridge too far when Minna insisted on a seamstress once a month, until the first thing she did was go through my dresses and add pockets. Now, can't live without. For the ghoulish eventualities, we'll need to fold in a nurse, physical therapist, cook, and someone to hold us by the arm as we take our final shuffles around the block. When Ziggy heard this, he said, "I got you. I'll walk you for free." Love that kid. Plus, we get to die at home. Plus, we're not a burden to our kids. Plus, no Florida. Plus, compared to nursing homes, it's a huge money saver. Covens, you can't afford not to. From Go Gentle by Maria Semple, published by Putnam, an imprint of Penguin Publishing Group, a division of Penguin Random House, LLC. Copyright 2026 by Maria Semple. And that was Read the Sneak Peek of Oprah's 122 Book Club Pick by Maria Semple. We've run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Daily. Please join us next time. I'm Kathy Bostrom, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Oprah Daily is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. The strength you have in you, and the blood you carry within you, ancient.